so excited that you're here, and we don't have a lot of videos and stuff. We're kind of like going pretty minimal right now when it comes to Sunday morning, just because it's just January. We're just kind of unplugging a little bit. A couple of cool announcements I also want to share. The 6th and Stillwater is a big, make sure that's on your calendar. The other thing is this. Ben Birch, you're back here, right? Ben's right back here. And we've been talking, it's going to start in February, a Celebrate Recovery kind of group that's going to, it's not to replace 12 Steps, it's to add on to 12 Steps. And what I think is this, is that we just want to surround people in the Christian faith with just the addictions and different things in life. And it's going to happen on Sunday mornings at 8:30, starting in February, in the Media Center. And so it's not just for people of our church. It's for anybody. So if you know anybody who just needs just that recovery and just needs a group, talk to Ben, and that's good. The other guy that's not here, there's a cool group that started up in 2 weeks. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Benji, he's not here this week. He's going to be here next week. I'm going to introduce him. Some people in our life, some people might ask you a spiritual question, like, why do you believe this? And you're like, I have no clue. It's just what I believe. And there's a thing called apologetics, which really goes really deep into not just that we believe in creation, but can you give me some details about, you know what I'm saying, how I can explain my faith? Like, how can I explain this? And he's taught this before, and I've seen it, and seen his stuff. So he's starting next Thursday, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday night. Benji's going to teach on apologetics for about 8 straight weeks. Not here, but we're going to let you know location. So find out more information. If you want to get involved, it's for guys and girls. But I just want people to know, you know, and ask questions. This group is about asking questions. And listen, I'm not saying that we know it all, but it's good to come together to discuss. Does that make sense? Awesome. That's a lot of stuff this morning, right? And we're just excited. I'll be honest with you. This last Sunday morning, I talked about, let's just unplug. And this past week, I kind of took off social media this week. And anybody else just feel like there's more space when you unplug? Like there's just more space in your life. You're just not so crazy. And last week, I talked about a thing called priorities. And I think what's interesting this month, I'm talking about it takes 21 days to either develop a good habit or develop a bad habit. It takes 21 days. And now when people think about habits, they're always thinking about things they're doing stupid, like actions. But sometimes it's a thinking habit. Sometimes it's a process that you have in your head. Sometimes it's the way you just live. And so my challenge for you this month is just saying, what if we change how we look at it? For instance, I know I've been praying all year about, God, what are you doing this year? For instance, in March, we celebrate our 3-year birthday as a church. And so we're thinking ahead. We're thinking this year. And we're thinking of different events. But on the flip side, as a pastor, I don't want to announce a lot of vision to the church until I spend my time with the Lord in prayer. Does that make sense? So even this month, it's a lot of churches, I'm not saying it's wrong, a lot of churches come out of the gate and start envisioning stuff for the next year and say, what's the vision for 2016? And I'm just like, let's just pray as a church. Let's dive into this. Let's fast and pray and lay some things down and spend this month focused on the Lord. What's interesting about this is this. It says financially, the Lord wants us to give our best 10%. That's our tithe. What if as a church and as families and as people, we said, if God wants us to give our best 10% of our time, I mean, of our finances, what if he wants us to give our best 10% of our time, our best 10% of the year? So what if we just unplugged and gave God our best at the beginning, I mean, all through the year, don't get me wrong, but what if we just focused on it and said, we're not going to be rushed, we're going to slow this down, and we're going to focus on the Lord. And I think that's kind of where we're at, just saying, let's just unplug here and not get so ahead of ourselves. I spoke to a few people this past week, and now the more I say it, I think it's more for people. So this might be a word for you, but I'm telling you, the failures that you experience in 2015 when you seek the Lord and you give him your heart and you surrender to him could be your triumphs of 2016. We serve a God who restores all things. The things in your family that you've been praying for, the hardships, the different things, could be miracles this year. We just got to ask God how to do it. So for last week, if you weren't here last week, just to summarize, I spoke on two words, balance and priorities. And you can put that picture up, Anna. It's great. One is this. People talk about all the time about, I just need more balance in my life. I just need more balance and time and energy. Because I want to tell you this. If you're trying to budget out your finances, budgeting out your time is just as important. You know what's just as important as budgeting out your time? Here's a big one. Budget out your energy. Because I know too many people who spend all their resources and all their energy at work, and when they come home, they're just like, blah, and they just kind of, and it's hard because when you get home, I don't want to always be crabby to my kids and my wife and my family. So learning to budget out your finances, learn to budget out your time, but also your energy. So this is where balance and priorities come out, because balance is horizontal. Because in balance, something's always being weighed out. For instance, it puts everything on the same line. For instance, your work, your family, you know, saying your finances, everything's like this. It's always in limbo. You're just trying to figure it out. Whereas priorities is vertical. Last week I had a vase up here and I put some big rocks in it and then I put some gravel in it and I said, can I put more? And you know what I'm saying? Then I put sand in it and then I put water in it. And what I said was, if I didn't put the big rocks in first, I can't put everything else into it. Most people, not most, but a lot of people are trying to fill up their vase with stuff that's maybe not the big rocks. And when they get to crunch time, they're trying to add the big things and it doesn't fit in the vase because it's last minute. And I'm telling you, I said, what's the big things in your life? And I said, your relationship with your Lord, your family, you know what I'm saying? Those are some big rocks. And if we are not maintaining those well, a lot of things are going to be off. If you don't take care of the main thing, all the priorities are going to be off. Is this true? Amen? And this is kind of where we're at as we go forward, because I just need us to understand where balance and priorities are at. Sometimes it's not the people who change, but it's the priorities that do. It's the priorities that change. Sometimes our greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd our most important things. As a pastor, I am dealing with this a lot because people come to say, this is urgent, I need it right now. But if I'm with my family, there's always a decision. They say you make 300 decisions a day. And I'm telling you, if I'm with my family or if I'm in a different situation, I'll put it to you this way. Let's just say, Shino, you and I are having lunch, okay? Shino's up there, of course. Shino and I are having lunch. And all of a sudden, as we're having lunch, I put my cell phone down. And all of a sudden, my phone just starts vibrating and ringing. And I just keep on picking it up. And I said, Shino, hold on 1 second. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, sorry about that, Shino. Go ahead, tell me again. And then all of a sudden, phone writes, Shino, hold on 1 second, blah, 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 put it back down. So the question is this, is how am I making Shino feel when I'm busy on my phone? And I know this is really practical, but this is what we need to think through, because I'm making him feel second to what may be urgent. So face-to-face right now, this may be the important thing. And I think we make these kind of decisions almost every day. Is this true? And this is why, as a pastor, anybody ever have kids who are pastors' kids who are like some of the worst kids in church growing up? Right? You're like a pastor's kid. Oh, watch out for them. And growing up, and one of the things I realize is this, sometimes kids get mad at the church who are pastors' kids, not all the time, but sometimes, because they feel like they're second to the church, because the church urgencies are more important than they feel that they are. Does that make sense? I don't want to ever make my kid feel like there's like something's more important than them, except for my wife and my spiritual life. Does that? And so I think that's where balance and priorities come in. And so last week I skipped over this, and here's what we're going to do. We talk about Elijah hearing God in a whisper, and I said the main part is to hear God's voice. So here's where we're going to jump into it. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first part is super practical, and then we're going to end with a short little thing. But the first part is this, is I want everybody, I'm just going to share what I do. I'm not saying this is what you need to do, but I feel like if part of the next step for you is you need to ask yourself, what's my next step? For you, it may be coming to Blueprints and getting involved with church. Maybe for you, it's leading. Maybe you've just been part of a life group. Now you want to lead a life group. Maybe for you, it's getting water baptized. Maybe for you, it's praying for the first time. Maybe for you, it's committing your life to the Lord for the first time. Maybe your next step, honestly, is just saying, I don't even know how to read scripture. I want to start reading scripture. So all of us have a next step. We're all in this place having our next step. So I'm going to give you some practical tools of what I do. It's called SOAP. Anybody ever heard the acronym SOAP before? I know in nursing school they use it for something else, which is kind of funny. But we're going to use it today for SOAP, which is this: scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And so if you're asking me, I'm just telling you this because this is something I work through. I bought a journal. I have a note. You can have a notepad. You can have a notebook. You can do whatever you want to do. But this is how I work through it. So when you walk in, there is a thing called 5x5x5 Bible reading. The Bible reading plan starts in the New Testament. A lot of people ask me, how do I read scripture? And we say, hey, if you've never read scripture before, start in the New Testament. It's a little bit easier to work that way. So the 5x5x5 kind of goes through a chapter a day, and it kind of gives you a few days off just to learn it, let it soak in. But it goes through it. So if you don't have one of those, it's on the usher table in the back. So I say, have your 5x5 with you, and then look through the scripture that day. And then I would say this with SOAP, write out that scripture that challenged you. If you're reading a chapter and a verse pops out or a few verses pop out, and I know this is just like common as far as like saying I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to give you tools for the year because I want us to hear God's voice. So I want you to write out, if you're going to do this, write out your scripture, what spoke to me. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If we're not reading scripture, we don't know what to pray for. Does that mean, like, there are so many promises, there are so many things the Lord spoke to us in scripture, and if we don't know scripture, we don't even know what God is really saying. We don't know how to confirm it. So my challenge is you, if you've never read scripture, you don't need to read a chapter a day. Maybe you just read a few verses a day. Maybe you just kind of start small, but start somewhere. It's interesting because scripture is a really important word. The word will either keep you from sin, but sin will also keep you from the word. Isn't that interesting? People who are like hiding stuff, it's hard to read the scripture. It's not about reading the Bible. It's about the letting the Bible read you. It's hard to have an active prayer life if you don't have an active reading life. So I would say for you, maybe it's on your phone and maybe you use that Bible app and maybe just go through there. Or maybe it's that 5x5 thing. But read scripture. Write it down, read scripture. So the SOAP number one is just scripture. Number one is scripture. Number two is this, it's observation. So the first thing, you write out your scripture and you just kind of write it out, or the few verses, you write it out and maybe you highlight some parts of it. Then the next thing is observation. And it's training yourself to think it through. You're not gonna just read it. It's like pulling back and saying, how is this? What am I thinking? How is this challenging me? And so you're part of thinking. If you read something, you start pulling it apart a little bit. For instance, if you're a sports person, there's a thing called training versus trying. Trying is just saying, coach, just put me in, I'm going to do my best. But the people who are good at sports understand it's how you are in the off season that gets you ready for the right season. It's that training that gets you ready. It's not just trying. And when you observe, what you're doing is, when you pray, what you're doing is you're training yourself to look at scripture differently. So the more you hear God's voice, the more you recognize it, and the more you respond, the clearer it becomes. We have so much noise in our lives. You have cell phones, computers, kids, traffic, radio, right? Like, wives, husbands. There's just so much noise. And this is part of the problem with not getting the right signal. It's like having a cell phone and just saying, doesn't work, doesn't work, doesn't work. And I'm like, dude, take it off airplane mode, turn it on so your reception is better. Get away. When Elijah heard God's voice, it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the wind, it was in
the whisper.
And you can't hear a whisper when there's crazy chaos going on. It says he heard God's voice in a whisper. Maybe God was trying to speak in the earthquake, but there's already so much stuff going on he couldn't hear anyway. Part of this is we got to pull back and listen. Anybody in here understand, like, when it's quiet, you hear more? My kids understand this. When a room is dark, what's that noise? What's this noise? When there's not a lot of noise, you hear more. And when you're in the woods by yourself, you hear more. You can hear things. Because when you listen, you hear. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Pull yourself up. Be still and know that I am God. When it's quiet, you hear more. Reason we do not hear God is because we're not being quiet. You guys want to know the true fact of it? Here it is. I think more people are won to the gospel of Jesus Christ by listening than by talking. You might think that doesn't make any sense. It does make sense, because when you start asking people questions about where they're at, you start knowing where they're at. Listen, I think it's very important that we share the gospel, but like my wife, I'm going to share something about my wife and I. My wife, if we're going through something or a problem's going on, I observe it and go through it, but I just need time away. Let me process by pulling myself out. Anybody else that way? Like, just, my wife processes by talking it out. Anybody else that way? And as the more she talks it through, the more she figures it out. Where I'm like, let's just pull away. And she's like, let's talk it out. So this creates some fun things, right? So what's interesting is this is the way it is in our lives. I think what happens is, well, even when you're trying to share the gospel, sometimes you're trying to share yourself, but you're not there to hear what they're at. You know what most of prayer is listening. Most of prayer, we spend so much time making petitions. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. What if my relationship with my wife was based upon just things I want her to do? God, give me, you know what I'm saying? Like, instead of saying, God, my wife, make me supper. You know what I'm saying? Do this. Do this. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And then when she wants to talk, I'd be like, can you do this? Because it's not based upon listening or me caring, because listening means I'm attentive and I'm here to hear. This is why the Lord gave you one mouth and two ears, right? Because to spend twice as much listening as you are talking, to say, pull back. And so here's a question. When was the last time, including me, when was the last time you asked the Lord, God, what do you want me to pray for today? Lord, when was the last time? What do you want me to do in this situation? Lord, I know I'm frustrated. It's hard with my wife and I. So how do you want me to handle this? Lord, with my family, with the coworkers, what do you want me to do? Not what I think I should do, but Lord, and when you wake up in the morning, not saying, God, you know what I'm saying? You pull yourself back and you listen to what God is saying. Is this making sense? This is the whole observing thing, that you have observation of God. What are you speaking to me in this scripture? What are you sharing with me? And the next one is this. It's called application. And I think this is really interesting, because here are some questions for you about application. How will you be different as a result of what you read today? So how does the scripture verse today apply to me, and how can I be different today by reading it? How does the verse apply to me? So application makes the difference between, this is interesting, knowing his will and doing his will. Application is saying, God, how can I be different? Because this is my soapbox, here we go. I have more conversations with people about, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Where I'm called to be? Like, especially, everybody's just trying to figure out their giant thing. And I'm like, I don't know who's God called you to be right now. Because I really feel like more and more as I grow, who I am is even more important than what I do. My character, what God has called me to do, as I grow in my character, that develops what I'm going to do. And sometimes we put that ahead of the other, and we put the other one ahead of it saying, what do you call me to do? And we need to ask, God, who have you called me to be? Because when you can learn who you are, you can learn more what you're called to do. Is that making sense? And the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you know who you are. This is where application comes in. Our life changes when we connect the dots from what we believe, listen to this, what we believe to how we live. Can you imagine if somebody picks up scripture? Can you imagine how much different life would be if someone reads this, picks it up, and believes every single thing and lives it out, what it says in here? How much your life would be different? This is a conviction of me. Like, I look at this and go, there's no way. There's no way a son stood still. There is no way. I know I believe it, but isn't it just, we're just so skeptic about it. And God is saying, when you know how you should live and you live that way, that's how it changes. Because God is not just in the business of information. He's in the business of transformation. There's too many people who know a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, you can memorize and be the greatest theology professor in the world, and I can ask you about any verse and you have an answer, that's great. But if this and what the Lord is doing in your life hasn't transformed you, what does it matter what you know? Because when it's just information is great when it turns into transformation. And then it goes into this. It says prayer. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Prayer is pivotal. Some people this past week, you unplugged. And maybe you got off social media. Maybe you unplugged from the TV. Maybe you fasted from food, whatever it is. Here's my next challenge to you. Last week, I challenged you, do something this week that you can unplug from. You know my challenge is this morning? Do something different. Don't just stop there. Now what else? What else can you unplug from this week? What else can we say, we're not going to do this week? And it may not even be evil, but you're just going to say, what can I unplug from this week and pull aside? Because you're creating space in your life to read and to pray and to observe and to apply. How can I be different through this? And when you pull yourself away, crazy, awesome things happen. The other thing is this. If you look in your notes, I put this in there because I just want us to be part of it. I also want us to be praying. There's a 21-day prayer guide. That means for the next 21 days, not only do you do devotions, but I got something for you to pray for every day for the next 21 days. Right? I'm laying it out. Because I want us to be in the attitude of saying, let's pray, let's dive in. That's at the usher table too, because I just want us to just be praying and dive into scripture. So here's how we're going to land this plane. I really believe wishing should never substitute for prayer. People say, I just wish things would be different. And sometimes, listen, God has called us to be people of prayer. He even says in scripture, my house would be called a house of prayer. It's people who seek my face, people who seek my heart, because what prayer does is it aligns up his heart with our heart. And what we're doing is we are followers of Jesus Christ. And here's the example. We are followers of Jesus Christ, which doesn't mean most of our prayers are like this. God, I'm over here. I need you to come over where I'm at. Where our prayer should be, Lord, where are you at so I can come be where you're at? Because I'm not the one leading, I am the one following. And I think so often we're saying our prayer needs to be more, less about God coming on our side and more about us going onto the Lord's side. Prayer is about lining who God is with our hearts and being where God's at in this moment right now. And that's what prayer is. It gets us ready. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time why I don't hear God's voice is not because the Lord doesn't want to speak to me. It's because I'm not ready to hear what he is saying. I am not, I'm there's too much noise. There's too much stuff going on, and I'm not asking them to share with me. So many people say, well, I don't hear God's voice. Here it is. Scripture is God divine. It's God's voice. And people say, well, I don't know God's voice. You know how you recognize somebody's voice? Is by what they say. The more I respond to this, the more I hear that. The more I read this, the more I hear that. The more I respond, the more I listen, the more I hear. I'm going to close with a scripture verse. And this is really interesting to me because last week we talked about how Elijah heard God in a whisper. I'm going to get the worship team up here in like 2 more minutes. And you guys are going to come up. 1 Kings 18, if you have your Bibles open up, and I want you to, at some point this week, I want you to read over this. But in 1 Kings 18, you have the story of Elijah, who literally, there was a god called Baal, a small god, small g, called Baal, and all these witches and everybody else is saying, Baal is the most important supreme god, and what it comes down to is Jezebel and these witchcraft of that day are saying, our God is bigger than your God, Elijah. And Elijah's God is our God. He's the God of Jacob and Isaac and Esau. He is the man. And so it's pretty much a story of my dad can beat up your dad scenario. And so here's a scenario where they call out Elijah. It's on Mount Carmel. And they make this whole altar. And in his story, there's this altar of fire and all this kind of stuff. And pretty much the people of Baal are going first. And so they're doing all their ceremonial thing. They're marching around the altar, and they're praying everything, and nothing happens. And so Elijah lets everything just all through the day. And it even says, he taunts him. He says, where's your God? And he even helps him build the altar again. If you want me to help, I'll help you. I'll build the altar. So he comes over and he's kind of taunting him, and he's building the altar again. And he says, where's your God at? And then all of a sudden, it gets down to, this is what I find awesome. It says in 18, verse 37, and he looked at the Lord. Elijah went to the altar himself. He built it up. And there is a burnt offering on it. And verse 37 says, answer me, O Lord. Answer your command. And he says, answer me, so these people will know that you, big L, you, O Lord, are God, that you are turning their hearts back again. Then a fire came of the Lord, fell down and burned up all the offering. And it's the wood and the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell to the ground and cried out, O Lord, the God, he is the God, the Lord. He is the only true God. Here you get this picture of all, they're just praying for little fires. And all of a sudden, God sends down his fire. And not only does it consume the burnt offering, it consumes everything. Rocks are gone. Everything's gone. And then everybody falls in love and says, they bow down to the Lord. Then Jezebel, this woman, who is in charge, says, who is this guy Elijah? Send for him. We're going to kill this guy. He just made fun of our gods of Baal. Let's go send for him. Let's kill him. So here's Elijah, who just saw fire come down from heaven and smoke the enemies. Verse 19, you guys ready for this? Verse 19 says this. First, he says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And he says he went under a tree. That's what happened. He says he went under a broom tree, sat down, and he said this. He says, God, I am no good. I can't do this anymore. Take my life. Jezebel's chasing me. Take my life. And I'm like, think about this. You just saw fire consume your enemies. Rocks are gone. Water's gone. And within 24 hours, you're running for your life saying, God, I am no good. Take my life. You're talking about totally, like, where's this guy headed? And honestly, I have this idea that maybe he wasn't initially saying, God, take my life. He wasn't running for his life. maybe he was running from his life. Maybe he wasn't running for his life. Maybe he was running from, because maybe he understood the pressure of what just happened. And to move forward, more people are coming after him. He's like, God, I don't know if I can carry this burden anymore. And then here's one of my favorite things in scripture. You think God would be getting mad at this point, by the way. God just did all this mighty work. God just brought down fire. He says, I came, I brought down fire, and all of a sudden you're running for your life. What's going on here? And all of a sudden, this is what's crazy. This is what God said to him. Instead of saying, shut your face, Elijah, this is what he says. He says, hey, Elijah, get up and eat. Dude, this is why I love the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else like food? Like, this is what I find phenomenal. He says, get up and eat. And he says, God prepares Elijah some food. God prepares Elijah some food. This is what he says. He says, Elijah, you're going to go on a journey. I'm going to send you to a cave. He spoke in a whisper to him, but before you go, you need some energy before I speak to you. And I've already given some stuff to you. I've already made some supply. I've already made some bread. Can you imagine what the Lord is making for you? That's amazing. He says, get up and eat. I prepared something for you. Go and take it. Get up, step out, and go. So here's my word for you. God has already prepared the manna, the food, for you to eat. And I don't want you to be a malnourished Christian who doesn't digest what the Lord has for him. God is saying, you have sermons, you have books, you have friends. This is the most information ever in history for the Lord. There's more information out there. You can go on a website and say, Lord, I want to know about you. You can find anything. There's more information out there about your relationship with the Lord than any other time. There's worship music. There's churches. There's all this kind of stuff. There's the Word. There's the Holy Spirit. There's all this stuff. And God is saying, I have prepared this for you. Now you take it, digest it, and eat it. And when in scripture he says, don't just drink milk, eat the real food, what they're saying is, listen, don't just listen to Jarvis, listen to him, but don't let this be the only time that you're fed. Listen to me. Tomorrow morning when you get home, I have something I want to tell you. I have something I want to share. So the question is, when was the last time the Lord spoke a word to you? When was the last time you listened to a word from him? Because I don't think the question is God prepared to speak to you? I think the question is, are we prepared to listen? Are we prepared to listen? What I find amazing is this. When I was a youth pastor, there was a new student that came to service one Wednesday night, and I was just not in a mood to meet somebody new. I know it sounds mean as a pastor, but anybody just get peopled out? I love you guys, but sometimes I just need to get away and just kind of unplug and just like I'm doing now. But I love people. I love meeting new people, but there's just sometimes either it's because of fear or just because I'm just not in a mood. There's this one guy in family that came to church. I just had a weird fear. I didn't know what to say. So I went up to him and the Lord really spoke to me before I introduced myself and said, what if you never see them again? I'm not going to remove your fear, but what fear is greater? Here's what it is. Is the fear of looking stupid or the fear of a missed opportunity? And that really spoke to me, saying, I don't want to miss an opportunity. But God is speaking to me because of other fears in my life. So here's my end with today. Sometimes not stepping out really means that you're missing out. Some people tell me, saying, well, I just want to be close with the Lord and I want to be more involved in the church, and I want to see miracles. I want to be part of somebody's testimonies, and I don't want to miss out on the Lord. I'm telling you this. You can either step out or you can miss out. Either you can step into what God has for you, or because of fear, you can miss out because you don't want to step out. Right? Like, what are we not stepping into because of fear? What are we not stepping into because we're afraid? And so many people say, well, I feel like I'm missing out. Chances are, we may be missing out on the more that God has for us because we're not stepping out into what God has for us. Anybody, let's just be honest in here. If you're honest and say, hey, Jarvis, I want more of the Lord in my life, raise your hand. Okay, most of us, we're all saying, I want more. So if you want more, if that means we step out and we say, God, I want more of you. This is how we're going to end today. We're just going to worship and we're going to pray. Not just so you can go back and say, well, look, this is what Jarvis taught me today. My question is this. You know why we do altars? You know why we do worship at the end? Because I don't want you just to remember what I say. I want the Lord to speak to you. Everybody just stand up this morning. So my challenge for this week is this. Start something. If it's not soap, do something. But I want you to dive into Scripture. Make this a year that you dive in, that you do your journaling. When I get back on the social media, I'm actually going to post it most of the month, the Scriptures that I'm going through, just so you guys know, like, this is where I'm at, the 5x5. But dive in, pray this week, God, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you're just saying, I need to make right my relationship with the Lord. If that's you this morning, nobody else is looking around. You're just saying, I need to make things right between the Lord and I. Maybe you're saying there's a lot of information, there's no transformation. Maybe you're saying, I just don't know him. I've never surrendered my heart to the Lord. But no one's looking. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm the only one looking. So if that's you, don't be afraid. It's awesome. I see that. It's awesome. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I surrender my heart. Lord, help me to know you. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me. In Jesus' name. Amen. For everybody else, let's dive in. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm not a person who really worships. Well, next step. Right? Like, maybe you're saying, I'm not a person that really prays. Welcome to your next step. Maybe, I don't know what it is. I'm just telling, even as your pastor, there's a lot of next steps I'm taking right now because I don't want my relationship with the Lord become stagnant. So what is it for you? So we're going to open these altars. Maybe you want to come down with your family. Maybe you just want to pray by yourself. Maybe you do whatever. But let's in worshiping and praying and let God, maybe you're going to come with your journal and just go through Scripture. I don't know what it is, but let's spend time this morning. Make sense? Let the information become transformation.